Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue our examination of the history of heresy by looking at the fourth verse of Jude. So let's read that fourth verse again together. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, I've received several letters, phone calls, and emails concerning this broadcast, and I thank you so much for writing and calling. One question that comes up all the time is, why are you dealing with this particular subject, Brother Blair? Why the Epistle of Jude? Why teach about sound doctrine? Why now? My brothers and sisters, I believe that the Church of Jesus is in trouble, especially here in America. I fully believe that ultimately God will sustain and build His own church. I'm aware of that, but that wonderful promise does not in any way negate our responsibility and holy obligation as leaders of the church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. We live in a culture where we would rather be popular than correct, where we would rather just go along to get along than we would know and live and proclaim the truth. And as a result of this laid-back, cavalier attitude about the things of God, the church has adopted a very low view of God, a low view of the Bible, and a very high view of man. And we accept things as being true that we would have never accepted 50 or 60 years ago. When I was a young child, the public school system in this country adopted a change in education that put more emphasis on how children felt about themselves rather than on what they were really learning. And this change, now several decades old, allows children to graduate who are not educated. We give diplomas out to people who can't read them and who don't appreciate them. And we've done the same thing using the same logic in the church. In our desire to see more people saved, we have lowered the bar about what it actually means to be saved. And the result is that we have more people going to church, but we have fewer people who have been miraculously born from above. Far too many people today do not seem to understand that salvation has nothing to do about joining a church. It isn't about going down front or praying a prayer or crying or having a change of mind or a temporary emotional experience. It's not about singing in the choir. It's not about even being in the ministry. Salvation is a supernatural and miraculous transformation of the human nature, and only God can do that. But as many as really do believe, the Bible says that God gives them the right to become the sons of God. And part of that right is the blessing of knowing and learning about God Himself and the desire to obey Jesus Christ and the overwhelming earnestness to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Those who have been born again desire the presence of God. And this desire is part of the new divine nature. So you will find these people praying and seeking after God. These recreated souls desire the Word of God. They can't help it. They've fallen in love with Jesus. So you will find them involved in deep and serious Bible studies. And those who have passed from death into life by the miracle of the new birth desire fellowship with those who are engaged in the other two things. For over 1900 years, the Christian church faithfully taught the apostles' teaching. All of the leaders of the church were required to learn what the apostles taught and then teach that to others. They didn't invent new things to teach. They taught the divine truth of Scripture. And the result was that the average person sitting on the pew 50 years ago knew more about sound doctrine than do many of our church leaders today. And that is a shame and a reproach. We would not have the sin and the abundance of the social ills that we have today in the church if the leaders were awake and alert and faithful to the Word of God. So because I truly believe that the course that we have been on now for several decades is the wrong course, I'm calling the church to repentance and to return to her first love and to return to biblical Christianity. And that is why I teach sound doctrine. And you either appreciate this or you don't. But whether you hear or whether you forbear, you still need this. Now, in the last broadcast, we began to look at specific areas of doctrine that are very important and which have been attacked over the last 2,000 years by several heresies and false teachings. Let's look again at verse 4. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what areas Jude says will be attacked by these certain persons who creep into the church to pervert the right way of the Lord. Number one, they turn the grace of our God into licentiousness. They deny the Lord God. They deny the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see that Jude warned the church in the first century that those who teach and preach false doctrine will attack three areas of common doctrine of the apostles. Number one, they will attack the character and the nature of God the Father. Number two, they will attack the person of Jesus Christ, either in his full humanity or his full deity. And number three, they will attack the gospel, specifically justification by grace through faith. Now, Jesus was and is the single most important figure in all of human history, and therefore Jesus is the most loved and the most hated man in all of history. The question of just who Jesus is has taken up libraries of books over the last two millennia as hundreds of thousands of people argued over various attributes of our Lord. The Apostle John said that Jesus was the one and only of the Father, and that makes Jesus to be the most unique and the most exclusive person who has ever lived. But because no man can be saved without Jesus, it becomes extremely important that we understand precisely who Jesus is. Therefore, those biblical truths that deal with the person of Jesus Christ must be clearly articulated, taught, and understood if we are to effectively ward off false and wrong understandings about Jesus Christ. Here is a short sampling of some of the battles that have been waged in the church over the last 2,000 years concerning the person of Jesus Christ. Was Jesus a created being who was made by God at some point after creation? Was Jesus literally God Almighty wrapped in human flesh? Did Jesus literally die and then literally and physically rise from the dead? Or was he put to sleep and then simply woke up? Was Jesus sinless? Was Jesus born of a virgin or just a young lady? Was Jesus a real live person or was he simply a spiritual concept? Was Jesus fully God or was he merely angelic? Was Jesus God or was Jesus simply a God? If Jesus was God, then why did he say that his Father was greater than he was? Now, I fully understand and agree that a lost sinner does not necessarily need to understand a lot about these doctrines. When God gloriously saved me on June the 25th, 1971, I didn't know any doctrine. I didn't know any scripture for that matter. I didn't even know John 3:16. So I fully agree that lost souls can come to Jesus without understanding a lot of this. But that is not the reason that I am teaching you about doctrine. I'm not preaching and teaching a salvation message by bringing you this study on the Epistle of Jude. Jude didn't write this epistle to win lost souls to Jesus Christ. This message is for the church, for those who are already saved. This message is for those who need to know right from wrong, for those who are out there endeavoring to reason with the lost from the scriptures so they can be won to Christ. Listen, I'm very interested in winning lost souls to Jesus, but I'm not going to be buying airtime on Christian radio to try to reach the lost. When I was lost, I didn't listen to Christian radio. I didn't read Christian books. I didn't go to Christian bookstores. I didn't go to church. And I made fun of those who did. So when I preach a salvation message, it's going to be on secular radio, and it will be a salvation message, and I'm faithfully doing that. But these studies are for those who are already saved and who desire a deep and holy walk with God. And the people who crave the presence of God want to know exactly who Jesus is. And the people who are really serious about their walk with God understand the need for sound doctrine. And those who are trying to refute all the lies and misconceptions about Jesus out in the world are fully aware of the value of broadcasts just like this. You may not know this, but it really does matter what we believe, and it really does matter what we teach and preach, and any attempt to say that it doesn't is nothing more than a lame excuse to disobey the Word of God. Christian brothers and sisters, it is true that God will save you just like you are. Thank God that is true. But it is also true that once you are saved, God loves you so much that He will never allow you to remain just like you are, but He will mold and shape you and form you into the very image and likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that process will absolutely involve deep, serious, line upon line Bible studies just like this. So my goal in these broadcasts is to teach sound doctrine to those who are already saved. And that is why I say what I say and talk about what I talk about. It doesn't matter to me if everybody agrees with me or if nobody agrees with me. We are in a war over the very soul of the Christian church today, and God expects us to rise up and do a better job of defending the truth than we have been doing. Jude says here in verse 4 that ungodly people are creeping into the church while the leaders of the church are asleep in the night, and they are bringing in what the Bible describes as damnable heresies. Damnable heresies are those serious false teachings that rise to the level of being able to damn those who believe them. So this is real important. Now, in addition to knowing exactly who the Bible says that Jesus is, we also need to know the truth about how lost sinners are saved. We need to have a sound, orthodox, biblical response to questions like this. Am I required to become Jewish in order to become Christian? Am I still obligated to keep the ceremonial and dietary laws of Moses? Is a person justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? Or are we justified by grace through faith plus a little human works? Which one is it? Is salvation a long, extended process that begins with infant baptism and goes all the way through life into a few hundred thousand years in purgatory? Or is salvation a moment, a glorious one-time event where I'm instantly justified by the shed blood of the Lamb of God? Which one is it? The righteousness that enables me access into heaven, is that righteousness mine or is it Jesus Christ's? Is that righteousness of Christ imputed or credited to me instantly by faith? Or is that righteousness my own personal intrinsic righteousness that I develop over a period of years through good deeds and through the sacraments of the church? Is my salvation obtained through the communion service or through baptism or by keeping God's commandments? What role does Mary, the mother of Jesus, play in my salvation? A little bit, a lot, or none? Is lost, unsaved, unregenerate man spiritually okay? Or is he spiritually sick? Or is he totally and completely dead in trespasses and sins? Is salvation a sovereign, supernatural miracle of God? Or is it a cooperative effort between God and man? Who's in charge of salvation, God or man? Since the birth of the church in the first prayer meeting in the upper room, there have been literally hundreds of heresies and hundreds of heretics who waged war against the truth. But of all the many false teachings that have been thrown against the house of God over the last 2,000 years, there have really been over 7 major groups of heresies, and all of the hundreds of false teachings that exist today are simply derivatives of one or more of these 7 groups or foundations. Here are those 7 groups. Number 1, the heresy of the Judaizers. The heresy of the Antinomians. Number 3, the heresy of the Gnostics. Number 4, the heresy of the Modalists. Number 5, the heresy of the Arians. Number 6, the Pelagian controversy. And number 7, the heresy of the Socinians. And Lord willing, over the next several broadcasts, I'm going to go into each of these 7 major heresies so you can have a working knowledge on how to deal with them when you are confronted with them. Because rest assured, my friends, these 7 major heresies are all very much alive and with us today in some form. Each of these false teachings are perversions or distortions of the clear and inspired doctrines that are taught in the scriptures. And although they are very ancient, they are not extinct. Well, I'm out of time for today, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.